Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callan. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All are welcome to fellowship with us. I'm out in the field today, so trying to get this system set up to get some work done so we can help the poor, those that are less fortunate than us. So we are depending on you all to carry on this service today. I'll be monitoring by cell phone, and we thanking God and praising God. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. O God, we just praise you right now. We glorify your name. We honor you right now, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come into our midst. Come in now and have your way. There is none like you, Jesus. This is what the scriptures say. And we believe, as the scriptures has given us understanding, that you are Lord. And there's no one like you, no one before you and no one after you. So we welcome you now. Glory to God. We welcome you now, Holy Spirit. Come on in and thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts today. We ask that you will use Minister on there for your glory today. We're waiting for her to come on, and when she come on, we would turn her loose to do what says the Lord, do what says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are waiting for Minister Ondeer to come on in. I'm waiting for her to come on in. Let me go get my tape. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are waiting for the minister to come on in, and she's not here yet. I am out in the field. I'm out in the field working. So I really need to. Here she is. Bless the name of the Lord, Minister Ondair. I am out in the field, so I need you to take over. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this woman of God. We ask you, O God, to use her for your glory. Oh, Father, we ask as she decreases, God, that you would increase right now. God, use her mouth, use her eyes, use her ears. Oh, God, use her tongue, oh, God, that every word she speaks, oh, God, would give honor and glory to you. Lord, we ask you to saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence, oh, God. Take complete control of what is said and what is done. And, Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on in, Minister Ondair. I'm going to go on mute when I hear your voice. Come on in.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. Good afternoon. God bless you all. I just want to thank God again for this opportunity, for being here today. I want to thank God for all that he has done for each and every one of us, you know, seen and unseen. We just give God the glory because of all of his blessings that he has unfolded upon us. And I just want to share the word that he gave me today. The word is the miracle of seed. The miracle of seed. When I think of the word seed, I automatically think sowing, planting, growth, soil, abundance, beauty, life, phenomenal. When I say phenomenal, when I think of seed, what germinates from that seed, what grows forth, the processing of how it becomes life, the processing of how the flower comes, how a child comes, it's all amazing. Within each seed, there are seeds, which bring forth new life, a new beginning, beauty, and opportunities. When I hear of the word seed and I hear of the word miracles, I think of opportunities that we did not deserve, opportunities that God allowed to manifest and just pour out upon us, miracles that happened that we could not explain, the seeds of the Lord. Amen? When I think of the miracles that is seen from one seed, and the abundance that one seed carries, I become extremely grateful for all God has done in all creation. It took one seed. God planted one seed, and out of whatever God did, he is our source. Abundance came, life came, beauty came. Each seed carries life that is necessary in the advancement of another's life, in if sown in good soil and with a pure heart. Every seed carries life that is necessary in the advancement of another's life, if sown in good soil and with a pure heart. When we carry forth the seeds that is within us that God has placed in us, that seed, whatever we have inside of us, whatever God has given us, whatever we do for others, we're sowing into them. We're sowing into their situation. We're sowing into their advancement. What we do for others, our seed as seed, we pour out into other people, and those germinate and bud and help other people to advance in their life. And we give God the glory because he has done so much for us. When we take a step back and observe life as a whole, when we open our mind and heart so that God can reveal much to us, we can see that God is the seed sower of the entire universe. The entire universe, the entire race, the entire creation, and all that is within it. God created all. He then gave his son as a seed who had to die. We know the processing that Jesus Christ went through. And because that seed was buried, and when it rose with new life, a life that was given for all of us, a seed that had to go in the ground. But when it rose, when it budded, you know, last night as I was going through my studies and, you know, doing everything, my eyes were so open and I'm like, God, wow. And I gave God the glory. I said, God, you know what? Thank you for everything that you have poured into us, everything that you have allowed to manifest in our life. These are things that are considered miracles, things that we have never seen before, things that we don't know will come to pass and come to fulfillment, but all we do is sow it. All we do is trust that as we give it unto God, as we pour it into God, he will let it manifest, and life will come from these things, from these opportunities that we put in the hands of the Lord, that we put in the trust of God, that it will bud, it will catch root, and it will manifest with fruits, abundant fruits, abundant opportunities, that we could then take those opportunities and go and do other things with it. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, and I'm reading this from the NIV, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in numbers. So when you hear, be fruitful and increase in numbers from men and women, that should let us know God gave us all something that can be germinated, that when planted well, can grow. God gave us all seeds of life. We have the seeds of love, seeds of joy, seeds of advancement, seeds of beauty, you know, encouragement. These are all seeds that when we use it with the pureness of our hearts, when we use it with God being the one that we go, we put it in God as our soil, it will come and it will manifest something that can help others along their way. The fruits will be evident from what we have inside of us. Amen? It says here, so let me continue. Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I gave you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the of life in it, I gave every green plant for food. As I read these, I'm like, wow, God, I'm thinking here, you know, these in terms of plants and stuff like that, but everything that God created has seeds. The fish are able to reproduce. The cow are able to reproduce. You know, animals, when you think of even the smallest animal, ants, flies, these things all reproduce. They all come forth, but every single one has a purpose. We are talking about our heart posture. We're talking about the things that God has given us, the seeds. How are we going to sow it? How are we going to allow it to become fruitful? How are we going to advance it? How are we going to allow God to be our soil, to be the strength that we put our trust in so that we can manifest the beauty? We can manifest in advancement in our life, in our spiritual life, that we can grow. We have to keep our heart and mind pure, that the love, the joy, the peace, the encouragement that we offer into this world would be looked at as good. We have to be careful not to sow seeds of destruction, seeds of negativity. Every seed that we have inside of us, if it's not sown with the purity of our heart, and if it's not sown with the kindness of the love of God, it can be turned and it cannot grow fruits. It cannot bear positive fruit. It will wither and it will die. It will hurt someone. It will cut someone down. It can destroy. Everything that God creates are unique in its purpose. Human beings are the most unique. Humans, mammals, animals that can reproduce. Seed and creation of God. We are one seed, but within that seed are two seeds. When placed together by God, creates many fruits. When we think of the miracle of childbirth, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I always mention it actually. You know, when we stop and we think of the miracle of childbirth, when we think of the conception and the processing that happens, it cannot be explained. We cannot describe it from what God has placed inside of us, from what God has placed inside of men. And that's why I use the thought process of humans, because we are all one seed, but we all have individual traits, specific traits in that seed, that when it comes together, life birth forth. And within each seed, there are so many uniqueness. Within each and every one of us, there's uniqueness. There's things that are so different and beautiful that God wants us to plant it. God wants us to give it to him and say, you know what, Father, I'm putting this in the soil. I'm putting this in the trust of you. And I know from you, life will grow. I know from you, positiveness will come forth. I know from you that the manifestations of the things that I need will come forth. Everything that we are in need of, when we plant it with good intention, when we give it with good intention, it will reap a harvest back to us. Everything that we do will gain a harvest once done in the manner that God intended to be. It says here, will bear fruit that also have the ability to bear more. The magic, as I said, of when a woman in her womb, this is something that we cannot even explain, but God allows us to witness it. When we think of the fields, when we think of the trees, when we think of the ocean, the life of a whole, the ocean has its own life. We have our life here above the water, but beneath the water, there's so much beauty. But everything in creation is there for a purpose. Everything will bud forth and bring more to keep the earth replenished, to keep the earth going. Of the process of winter, for those who live in cold temperatures or seasonal temperatures, you know what we think of winter, where everything died down, but before spring is coming, the rain is coming, God is watering those seeds that he has brought into this world, and they just start budding. It just starts growing. God is able to perform miracles that we cannot explain from the seeds that he has given, from the seeds that he has planted. Amen? One thing I've learned and still learning through the word of God is whatever you sow, you will reap. When we think of those, whatever you will reap. I always hear these words, whatever you sow, you will reap, in a negative term twist. In when people are not doing something nice, you always tell them, whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Your harvest will, you know, come forth based off of what you sow. But when we really stop and harvest, and when we really stop and think of that word, whatever you sow, you will reap. As it applies to our life, whatever we do, it's not just the sowing and the reaping, but it is the intention. It is the heart posture. Therefore, if we want to reap love, peace, joy, kindness, advancement, victory, if we want to reap these things that are all positive, that will help us to keep moving, help us to grow into another level, to bring more awareness, to open our eyes, help us so we can hold on in righteousness to God and stand. We have to make sure that we're sowing with good thought process. We need to sow seeds that will produce such things as we want. But the miracle of receiving such blessing is to be sure that the volition, meaning our thoughts and heart posture, the intent, the innermost part of us, needs to be pure, and the soil in which we sow needs to be rich in the things of God. Whatever we sow, we will reap. If I want to receive kindness from others, I have to sow kindness. But it's not every time we're sowing the things that are good, we receive things that are good. But even the Bible says, you know, we go in with tears sowing, but we will reap with joy. And I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not quoting it exactly as it said. But when we sow in tears, we will reap in joy. There's times we receive things that we didn't even realize God was going to bless us with. But still, we have to make sure as we're giving back, we give it not with the intent to receive something for it. When we're helping, we're not helping in the intent to look for someone to give us glory or praise or kudos. No, we do it joyfully. We do it because the Lord has told us to help one another. The Lord has encouraged us to do for others as we'll have them do for us. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 8. And then I'm going to also read Ecclesiastes 11 to 6. It says, I planted the seed in your heart. This is Apostle Paul talking. And Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. He said, I planted it. The word of God, we share the word with others. We share love and kindness with others. But it is only God that makes it grow. It is only God that allows it to get deep into our soul, for us to feel. It is only God that allows us and help us to give back out, to pour out what we have received onto others. God is the one that allows the manifestation of these seeds to be seen, to come forth, to come to life. Everything we have in us can be used for good, or if not used correctly, can be used, can be turned for evil. But we have to make sure that when we choose to use what God has given us, the seeds that is in us, the life that we can speak into other people, the encouragement that we could give to others, that it comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of God, that we will speak words that will uplift, that we will take the opportunities and the things and the thought process of everything that we want God to do, and we will pour it out into the Lord. We will pour it out into, when I say into the Lord, into the hands of God. We will give our plans. We will give our children. We will give our husbands. We will give our wives. We will give our jobs unto the Lord and ask God to help it to grow. We're planting it in you, God, because we know you are the giver of life, that you are the only one that can bring forth manifestation, and we don't want what we have inside of us to be used for evil. We don't want it to fall along the rocks and the wayside and not develop root and die. We don't want it to grow with the thorns and be choked, dear Lord. So everything that we have, everything that you have placed inside of us, Lord, we pour it out in trust of you. These are the things that God wants us to get to a place to understand. If we want growth, if we want movement, if we want advancement, if we want changes to occur in our life, we have to make sure that as we're sowing it, as we're bringing it out of us, as we're bringing our thoughts forward, as we're bringing our intentions forward, that it is pure and it is of God. It is honest and it is true, so that it can be used for good and not used for evil. It says, I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. It is God that brings it to life. We all have the breath of life in us. It is God that gives life to everything within the universe. Everything. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see you around us. It is God that gives life. It is God that takes life. When something withers and dies, it is not connected. When something withers and dies, it's not in good soil. When something withers and dies, when you think of a plant, it's not getting enough light. But even in us dying in this natural body and withering away, when we are connected to God, when we are planted in Him, new life will come forth. New life. The miracle of the life that is awaiting for us will come to manifestation. But we have to stand in the righteousness of God. We have to stand according to the will of God. We have to stand pure in His eyes. We have to stand and allow Him to use us and help us and move us to advance to the place where we can become new in Him. Amen. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. Amen? And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Everything that we do, we have to put in our own work. I cannot be saved because apostles praying for me. I cannot be saved because my mother's praying for me. I cannot be saved because my husband is praying for me and he's wanting me to live that life. We have to walk that life. We have to keep ourselves in the soil of God. We have to keep ourselves in the land, in the eyes, in the sight of God. We have to go to Him. We are working and trusting in God as we're bringing forth and putting ideas into plan. God will establish every single one of them. He is the one that established. He is the one that helps it to grow. He is the one that clothes it. When we think of the lilies, He speaks of that in the Bible. He is the one that allows it to grow. When He thinks of the birds, God sees all the birds in the world. Here and there we throw bread out there for the pigeons or for some other thing, but what we think of the many different species that are really out there that flows by free in the sky, everything was created to help each other advance from the worm to the ant, no matter what it is, right on up to us. But God is the one that has the plan. He is the one that is the sower of all the seeds that were planted in creation. So therefore, He knows how to grow them. He knows how to fertilize them, how to water them so that they will manifest, so that what they're doing will come and the beauty of what is within will be seen. That life will not be cut short. So again, we got to put our trust in God. Ecclesiastes says, plant your seeds in the morning and keep busy. And keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. When I saw that, I was like, wow, God. Many times we go to God, many times we come forward and we want certain things to happen, and we just plant one seed. We put out one idea. We want a job, but we only fill out a few applications, and we don't do the work. We don't follow up. The Word says to keep busy. Keep doing it, because we don't know where the blessings will come from. We don't know what will manifest, or maybe if both will manifest. whatever we're looking to God for today, whatever we're looking for God for in the future, whatever we're looking for God for, we've been praying to God for. Think of it. Have we planted enough seed? When a farmer is planted his yard, his farm, he doesn't plant, when you think of a corn, he doesn't plant one kernel. He goes down each row and he keep planting, because he knows a harvest will come. He knows they will grow. But if he just plants one, can he have a cornfield? No. You have to take each kernel and keep planting them. When we think of potatoes, when we think of all these things that have to go into the soil, that have to go into the ground, when we think of a rose bush, when we think of a plant, beautiful as it is, you can plant a bunch of seeds, but then when that harvest comes, there's millions of seeds, thousands of seeds within it that you can now go and keep planting. When we choose to show love unto our brothers and sisters, when we choose to be kind unto our strangers and neighbors, that kindness is remembered. But you know what that kindness does? That seed that we let go now is implanted in them. The Holy Spirit will work on them. God will water them. And that individual will now start showing kindness one to another. One to another. It goes from me to you to the next person. It grows. But when we plant hatred, and we have experienced it, we have seen it, when you plant destruction, when you plant negativity, even when there's a joyful person among a bunch of negative persons, it can damper and suffocate and choke that one individual. This is why God wants us to change our thought process. Change our heart processor as when we're doing, when we're giving, when we're helping. It's not to look. We're not showing up because we want you to remember when I have my stuff for you to come and show up. We're doing it genuinely because this is what God's asking us to do. We're doing it genuinely because this is the joy that we want to see others receive. I had a friend of mine. She's still my friend, of course. And she looked at me, this was a year ago, in 2019, the end of 2019. And she said, Andera, what do you get from ministering the word? What does God give you, like, that you can see? You always go around helping others, and you always feel joyful and happy. Like, what do you receive? And I smile, and I think of it, and I said, you know, T, I said, I receive joy. I receive happiness. It's not about the physical. It's not about the money. It's not about the kudos. I don't need any of those. What I need to see is that people are happy, that they're joyful. It's knowing that the love that God has given me, it's knowing that the peace that God has shown me, that I can show that and extend that onto someone. Whenever I go around her, she said, I don't know what it is, but you always make me so happy. Give me a hug. I don't know what it is. And I laugh and I smile. I said, because it's not always about a physical, tangible thing. Sometimes it's a spiritual joy that we receive, that we're able to share with others. Words of encouragement. A person calling us for prayer. These are the things that God wants us to sow out. Things that will last, things that will change. It's not about just the physical. It's not about the tangible money or whatever it is there is. Yes, we want to see things manifest, and God will show it. He still gives us the blessings of finance. He still gives us the blessings of good health. He still gives all of that. But if we choose to keep our hearts, the thoughts, pure, if we choose, even in our anger and our sadness and our lack, choose to love, choose to help somebody, even out of our little, with that positive feeling, with knowing that we're doing what God wants us to do, be helpers one to another, to love our brothers as we love ourselves, to care for our neighbors. If we're doing what God is asking us to do, to live a righteous life, to live according to his word, helping others to see that through us as we experience it, as we live it, others receive it. As we show it, others embrace it. So we have to touch others with what God has placed inside of us, his love, spirit that is in us. That's where miracles are seen. That's where miracles become tangible. Amen? Let's also take a look at James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, and I read this from the NLT. It says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. The fruit of good deeds. When we as children of God walk into any atmosphere, any environment, people should first see the miracle of God. They should first see the love of God. They should say, my God, you know, I know this person individually. I know what they're dealing with, you know, some of what they're dealing with, not everybody, but the joy, the smile, the peace. It's evidence of who God is in our life. The wisdom from above is first pure. What God gives us, everything that has been placed inside of us from birth, from creation, is pure. When we remove it and we speak it out, let's not speak it with tarnishment. Let's not speak it with negativity. Let us be careful to utter it with joy. Speak it with love. Speak it with fruitfulness of what we want it to be. At all times, peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And thus, who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Many times we think of our home. We think of our homes and our homes are in arrears, ups and downs. They're chaotic. Sometimes people have divorced. Sometimes people go through turmoil. Sometimes people have loss within their family. But in that moment, that's when we have to hold tighter to our Creator. Hold tighter unto God. Hold and kneel before him. Cry out to God and say, God, whatever I'm feeling inside of me, allow me when I speak that it comes out from a place of happiness, a place that will blossom, a place of peace. Even in our sad moments, I know there's many times I've been in a situation where it's not good, but, you know, or you have your little argument. But instead of speaking, and I've learned this, instead of just saying what is on your mind and saying what is on your heart and how you feel in that moment, I choose to remain silent. I choose to keep my mouth quiet, because if we act and we speak, when we're in a hurt moment, the seed that we're going to put into the atmosphere, the seed that we're going to speak onto others, can be seeds that are not good, curse seeds. It can be seeds that will not grow. It could be seeds that will hurt someone from a child. Many of us have experienced negative words spoken onto us. I've experienced it here and there, but I thank God for his salvation. I thank God for my salvation that he has given me. I thank God for the protection over my life that I've known him. So when I hear those curse words or those negative words and negative thoughts coming out at me, I can deflect it and I can block it. I no longer intake negativity, but I will always issue out positivity. because we choose as children of God to keep our hearts, to keep our minds steadfast on the Lord. We choose to keep our hearts and our minds grounded in his word, to show love, to be kind, to be caring, to be loving, to be peacemaking. We choose to allow God to use us to replenish, to pour out into others, you know, words that will encourage. And God will go and water. God will go and fertilize. God will go and grow these words of happiness. Take a step back. When our house is upside down, when you are a husband and a wife, children, and there's fighting and bickering in the home, stay silent. Step back and ask God to show you, where is it coming from? Where is that seed that needs to be uprooted? That seed that is choking the life out of my home, that's choking the life out of my marriage, that's choking the life out of my relationships with others, with my children. And we ask God to uproot. I have a friend of mine that called me a couple of weeks ago. She said, Ambera, you know, I've been going through some stuff, and, you know, I prayed and I asked God to show me where the stuff came from. And I said, you know, we're talking and stuff like that. And she said, I realized where this hurt and why I can't, you know, my relationships are not solid. It's because it was spoken over me when I was a child, when I first started dating my first daughter's father. And she said, I asked God to remove, and I prayed for her. We prayed together, and we asked God to destroy that seed, to pull it up from the root so that we could continue to grow in the stature. We could continue to grow, bearing good fruit. Amen? Let me turn to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 8, and then I will move down to verses 18 through 23, and I just have to pull it up in the Bible, excuse me. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 8, it says, then he told them many things in parables. This is Jesus Christ speaking in parables to his disciples as he's doing his teaching. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. You know, as we're reading these words, you know, I'm so grateful for in this passage that Jesus Christ gave the parable, but he also gave the meaning of it. So as children of God, we could understand when we are doing for others, when we are putting ourselves out there, when we're pouring out into the world, pouring out into our family, pouring out into our surroundings, in our jobs, wherever we are, we have to be planted. We have to be planted in God so that as we're issuing out whatever is in us, the joy, the happiness, the love that God has placed inside of us, the ideas that we could help others to grow, that these ideas as we're planting it will not fall on rocky places, but the enemy will not snatch it. That as we're sowing, these seeds will bud and they will have roots. So therefore, it will stand strong and it will not die. How many of us have business ideas? How many of us have ideas that God has given us, but it can never grow. It can't come to manifestation. At that point, where is the root of this idea? Where is the root of this business? What is the intention of doing it? Is it to help others? Or, you know, of course, we all want to make money. We all want to survive. But in doing it, are we doing it so we can help others give back? That from this fruit, from this idea, whatever we make from it, are we going to help the kingdom of God? How do we help to advance others? As we're advancing in our own stand, how do we help others to advance? How do we help build? How do we help enlighten others of the word of God and help others to have a positive outlook in life? Down in verses 18 to 23, it says here, listen then, this is Jesus giving the understanding, the explanation. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. When it says, when the hearer, anyone hears the message, hears the word of God, and does not understand it, it is because the evil one, the devil, comes and snatches it away from their heart. That means there's something that has transpired in that person's life where when they hear the word of God, they can't even believe it. It can't even germinate. It can't even get, it's not in the soil of the Lord. So therefore, it just sits on top of whatever it is. Their heart is not soft. Their heart is not a heart to understand or to hear. There's a blockage. So therefore, the enemy comes and takes it away before it can even penetrate. He takes it away. At some point in time where we heard the word of God, but we didn't believe it because we had church hurt, we had this one hurt, we had someone that did something. So you know what? I don't trust the word anymore. My friend said, you know, I've been in many churches and, you know, church people, we pray all the time, are just hypocrites. They're this. But we have to be careful. These people who are trying to know God, call the children of God, those who are supposed to be in the word, hypocrites. Why? Because when we are in our stand, we issue our hurt. When we're going through our problem, we speak from a place of hurt. We have to keep our hearts pure, even when we're going through our own struggles, so that that love of God will always shine forth, so that others who are trying to know who God is can open themselves. So when, you know, the word touches their heart, it will penetrate. It will go and do what it's supposed to do. So verse 20 says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I could have been one of those persons. I'm just going to speak about myself. I remember when, you know, 2015, when I gave my life back over to God and I chose to turn that leaf, and I turned in a split of a second. So many things transpired in my life. I had friends who came up against me, you know, friends who tried to persecute me, like, Andera, you know, how could you sure you're serving God? Like, you know, all these things. But because my root, my history of who God is, my witnessing of what God has done in other people's life, I was able to stay firmly planted in him, that I did not run away, that I did not veer away or turn away because of what other people say it. We have to encourage others to stay in God. Even when things get hard, even when what you're praying for does not manifest in that time, in that month, in that year, or years, stay with God. Keep talking to God. Cry out to God. Keep planting. 2020 is a year where we should have had many seeds in the soil. So many miracles of blessing came from this COVID period. Yes, we know some people lost their life, and we pray for their family that they could continue to stand strong. And we pray that that person knew God and they move forward. But for those who are here, many of us had the opportunity to receive a blessing that we didn't even know was coming. Did we plant? Did we cultivate? Did we break up our grounds? Did we do what God has asked us to do? Keep planted. Keep planting. In due time, the harvest will come. The reaping will come. The fruit, the plant will bud through, break through that soil, and fruits will start to bear. Verses 22 says, the seed fallen among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The deceitfulness of wealth. When we feel like money is all that is needed to get us to go forward, this deceitfulness and the worry of this life, I can't praise God because I don't see what God is doing for me. I can't serve God because I don't have no money. I don't have no food. I can't give God glory because I have not seen the manifestation of what I'm waiting for. No, even through our trials, as we pour out what God has put into us, as we're waiting for him to pour more. Remember, he is the sower of our life. He is the sower of all creation. He has all the seeds that we need. He is able to plant us in a place that we can't even understand. He's able to germinate our ground. He's our soil. He's able to cultivate. He's able to do everything for us so that we can produce a fruit. My friend right there, when you think of the fruit of the womb, my in-law, she miscarried 4 times. One of the child, as I said before, was 5 months. But yet I witnessed this woman praising God. Yet I witnessed her crying out to God. She didn't cry out to anyone else. She cried out to God. And she asked God to give her the fruit of the womb. And now, 5 months in, we have baby. We have a beautiful baby girl onto her and her husband, a fruit that is so healthy, that is so beautiful. Only God is able to do that. So even in our suffering, as we're sowing seed, how do you go back after losing a child in your belly for 5 months there, a physical one? And you go back and you still start breaking up ground. You still start sowing seed. And in all this, she was still giving. She was still helping. She was still working in the kingdom of God. Being joyful, being remaining positive, her and her husband. Keep our hearts and our minds pure. Trust in God that he will manifest and give us a harvest that we need. A harvest that others will be able to say, wow, I thank God for your life. A harvest that we could encourage others and say, you know what? These are the ways that I receive from God. Pray, trust, plant, and God will be the one to manifest. God will be the one to grow them. It says here, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understand it, like ourselves. We hear it, we understand it. Now we have to move forward. We have to become active. Who hears it? This is the one who produced a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. We are the one that know the word of God. We are the one that stand in. We need to go forth and be active in his kingdom. Encouraging, touching those that are less fortunate, touching those that are in need, touching those that are saddened, touching those that are broken, touching those who just need the love of the Lord, who needs to know that God is out there, that God cares. Sowing into them what God has sown into us. Showing them that whatever is going on in their life, God has something better inside. That they too have happiness and joy that is in them. Helping them to understand that God is the only one that can bring it out. As long as they put their trust, as long as they seek God, the miracle that we are looking for, the blessing, the happiness, the peace that we seek in Christ, God, the manifestation that we're asking, that we know God will do, it will break forth, it will bud, and it will come to life. We are all filled with seeds given to us by God, who is the sower of life. The miracles of our seeds are solely dependent on where, on who, and with whom we plant them. We need to ask God where to go. We need to ask God how he wants us to do it. And we need to say, God, it is you that I'm going to give it to. I'm going to take it to your garden. Look at our Father. When we think of God, he created a Garden of Eden, beautiful with the tree of life, a garden that was filled with everything man needed, Adam and Eve, everything from the creation of time. We have a gardener as a Father. When we stop and we're walking by the riverway or we're walking in the hills and we stop and witness the creation of life, God is the giver of life. There is life within every seed. There are miracles within the seeds of life. No matter where we go, if we open our eyes, spiritual and natural, we will see the life that God has given. When we look in the sky, when we look amongst us, when we think of what is in the ocean, when we go to the beach and you just hear that water rushing, it has a life of its own. Everything has the breath of life. Everything has God imprinted on it. For us to be a part of this beauty, we also have to speak life. We also have to sow seeds of joy, of love. We have to give the joy in everything that God has placed inside of us. Allow it through our thought process, through our heart posture, to come out where it will bear fruits, where it will help others and not destroy what God has given us. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for this word, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, because this word has touched me. This word, Father God, of Garokusur, I am thanking you, God, because I ask you, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that as everyone have heard this word today, myself included, dear Lord, that we will continue to sow good seed, that my heart posture, my thoughts, Father God, will be on you. Father God, that I will seek your face and I will seek your guidance of how to go forth. Father God, even in my weight and even in my sadness, even in my sorrow, whatever we are feeling in this moment or we're going to experience in the time to come, dear Lord, we ask that you help us that our hearts will always be bound up in you. That our minds, Father God, will always be set on your will to be done, dear Lord, so that the things that we utter out of our mouth, the things that we speak into existence will spring life. It will bring fruits, harvest, more bountiful than we could even carry, more bountiful than we could even fathom, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us. We thank you for your breath. We thank you, Father God, because through your Holy Spirit, we know, we understand, dear Lord, when things are not within your will. We understand, dear Lord, when we have spoken words or we're thinking of words that are not of you. We understand when our actions does not equal up to your will, dear Lord.
We're asking you, dear Lord, to keep pruning us. You are the pruner. Keep refining, keep correcting, keep showing, keep teaching us to do better so that all that you have placed in out of us, all that you have given us from the beginning of time, dear Lord, as we use it, dear Lord, it will be used for your will, for your glory, for your kingdom. Merciful Father, we thank you for your forgiveness upon our life. We thank you for the peace and the joy, Father God, that you give, because it surpasses all understanding. We cannot sometimes even understand what we feel, but we know it's of you. So, Father God, in this day, we ask you, dear Lord, to allow our eyes to continue to be open. Allow our ears to hear clearly. Allow our lips to be anointed so we speak life and joy and peace. Father God, that we will experience your life. We will experience your love, your mercy, and your grace always. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And Father God, we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Andere. Glory to God for that powerful anointed word talking about the seed. And glory to God. I like how you expound on that, seeing that, knowing that he is the one that brings the increase. Many people will plant and many people will water. Different people, all kinds of people, all kinds of race of people would plant and water. But he, the Most High God, will give the increase. And that is so important for us to know. So I thank you so much for that word. I'm installing two furnaces and two water heaters. They're not going to finish today, but I'm getting the work started today. So I'm busy up here. So Father God, we thank you and praise you for your servant, and thank you for the word that she has given to us today. We're asking, Father God, that you continue to bless her, continue to overflow her vessel with fresh oil, fresh anointing, fresh blessings, bless her marriage, bless her daughter, bless her mother, brothers, sisters, bless all her kinfolk, oh God, that they will know that she serves a living God, one that cares for his sons and daughters. Father, we ask today that you continue to order her steps in your word. Let your word be a light and a lamp unto her feet, O God. God, that she not stumble, but she stand, and that's on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We just praise you this day. We honor you, and we glorify you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, Minister Andere, there's two more people on the line. They dropped off. Only Deacon Fraser is on the line. I don't know if he got anything to say. Deacon, are you able to share? If not, just go ahead and pray and close out. And
okay.
Thank you so much again. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Apostle. All right. God bless you. Be safe.
Yeah, I am. Thank you so much. I'm in Mattapan, so I'm
Mattapan.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know we need the presence of the Lord, you know that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that word. I was blessed by it. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Give God glory. I'll wait for a second to see if Deacon's going to come on. Amen. All right. I'll go ahead and pray, Apostle. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father God, we thank you for your peace and your joy. Father God, that surpasses all understanding. Father God, we thank you for everyone that was on the line today. Father God, even for those that didn't make it to the line, Father God, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. For those that was able to speak, Father God, and even for those that were not able to, dear Lord. Father God, we pray that your word, Father God, penetrate their hearts, Father God, as they hear this word, not just here on the line, Father God, but whoever will download this word, dear Lord. Allow it to penetrate our hearts, including myself, that we would choose to do better, Father God, for you and for your kingdom, that we would choose to continue to be helpers one to another in the mighty name of Jesus, in the various ways that you have called us to do it, that we will be true to ourselves and be true to your word, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that we will go forth and fruit
fruits will be produced, Father God, that we will see your victories come to manifestation, that we will see your promises, Father God, and your miracles happen, not even in our lives, Father God, but in others' lives, dear Lord, that we will put others before our own needs, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I am thanking you for, Father God, Father God, I am thanking you for Apostle Calendar, dear Lord, that you will continue to be with him, and you will continue to provide for him, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, for him and his entire household, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I'm praying for Pastor Washington, Father God, Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will continue, Father God, to heal them, Father God, you will continue to guide them, Father God, that you will continue to strengthen their bodies, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they will, Father God, continue to do your will and your work, Father God. Father God, you have so much, Father God, that they have brought into this world, Father God, that you have placed inside of them, dear Lord, that still need to manifest. So we ask that you continue to cover them. Father God, we pray for his children and his mothers, dear Lord, that you will continue to allow the joy of the Lord to be their strength. Father God, we pray for Evangelist Darlene Campbell, dear Lord, that all that concerns her heart, Father God, will come to fulfillment, that you will open her eyes and continue to give her the guidance, Father God, that she has called upon you to, dear Lord, and you will give her the understanding that is needed, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're thanking you for Evangelist Sheila. Father God, that wherever she is, whatever she's going through in this moment, dear Lord, that you will be with her. Father God, that you will surround her, Father God, with your angels, Father God, of protection in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're also praying for Mother Grant, dear Lord, that you will continue to shine your light before her. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for this world, this nation, Father God. There are so many people that is hurting in this nation, dear Lord, that is in need of you, that are crying out for you. Father God, allow your helpers to rise up. Allow your helpers, Father God, to be joyful as they give, as they help, as they encourage those that are a little saddened, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, in their stand. Allow us, dear Lord, to continue to show seeds of joy, seeds of love. Father God, and we know that all that we do is blessed by you. We know all that we help, every helping comes from you. And we know that you are the one, dear Lord, that will continue to give us and to establish our walk and our work. Father God, we give you the victory. We thank you for our loved ones near and far. Even for those that I didn't mention their name, Father God, you know who are always on the line and those who wish to be on the line, dear Lord, but cannot make it. We thank you, we honor you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Apostle? Amen.
Hi, Minister Andara.
Hi. Is that Evangelist Sheila?
Yeah.
Hi, honey. How you doing, sis?
Sorry I'm late, everybody, but it's just a different morning. But praise the name of Jesus. God bless all of you.
And God bless you.
Thank you for your presence. No matter if you're late or not, long as you get on. You know, with a good word, strong word, Minister Andel was ministering about planting seeds. And was just so powerful the way she delivered that word today. You know, that's something I got to talk more about and teach people how to plant. Have a planting seed, but that was just so beautiful the way the Lord delivered that through you today, you know. We know that we got to have expectations of the seed also. You know, you just don't put seed in the ground without expectations. When the farmer plants, and you're talking about he's shifting from row to row, and he didn't just plant one row of seed, but he planted many rows of seed, and he had a great expectation because the more seed you plant, the greater your expectations. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I thank you for that word. You know, we just got a thing from Western Union. And you know, in just the last 3 months, we sent almost $2,500 to Africa and India. And I was thanking
God.
I said, God, I didn't even know we sent that much money, you know. On this job, I got this job a few months ago, but it didn't manifest till a few days ago, you know, because she was waiting on the meters, and we still didn't get the meters yet. And she gave me some money, and I was able to send money to India I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, so that they could buy medicine and so they can buy food. And we're helping build a church there. So, you know, once you sow with expectation. A farmer, I mean, people say, well, I'm just giving back, but I'm not looking for anything back. No, no, no. You're a farmer. You sow. You're not sowing because you can sow. You sow because you know the expectation. When you give to the poor, the Lord says, when you give to the poor, you lend to him, and he will repay. But you're not making that your main objective, that I'm going to sow because I'm going to get a harvest. But you must have an expectation. You're not just sowing just because you can sow. You know a harvest is going to come up, but the harvest is not your main objective. You know you have to put seed in the ground if you want to get a harvest. That the farmer knows that. He knows that. So he has expectation. Hallelujah. When I sow to Africa and India, I'm not looking that I'm going to get $1 million because I'm sowing all the time. And we are retired. We ain't had no great leftovers, and I'm telling the truth. But we still sow. We still sow. We don't have no great leftovers, Minister Andre. You know, sometimes my wife says, you know, we giving all the time, honey. We ain't got that money. I said, God got it. I said, I know we ain't got it, but I know God got it. And I tell her, we don't have it, but God got it. And the more I give to the poor, God is looking at me and saying, you see that man down there? He is good giving out of his knees. Because he don't have it. And every time that we're giving, I see myself like the widow. You know the widow woman in the book? And she gave Book of Luke and Matthew. She gave. And all the rest was giving out their bundles because they could afford this. And, man, I'm going to write me a big check today because I got all this money. I'm making all this money. But she was writing a check, a little bitty check that she bet she had no more. I always like to say she couldn't go to McDonald's and buy two for two because she had nothing left. But she gave, and Jesus recognized her. Jesus recognized her. And that's one of the places that we need to be taught in, because we said, well, you know what? I got to pay my car note. And I'm not telling nobody don't pay the car note. But I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my mortgage. I'm not telling nobody don't pay your mortgage. But that lady, when she saw that they was raising the funds, she only had 2 pence or 2 farthings, equivalency of 88 cents in today's time. That's what she had, about 88 cents. And she gave it all. And Jesus recognized it. I mean, I don't know how close he was to the collection plan, but I know Jesus can see regardless of how far away it is, because he's God. And he recognized, he said, look, tell the disciples, see that woman over there? She gave more than all of those that gave out of their abundance. He said she gave out of her needs. And he said that this scripture got to be preached all over the world. And everywhere you go, I don't care what country you're going to, somebody going to preach about the widow woman that gave her last. Somebody going to preach about it. Don't care where you go. Somebody going to preach about this woman that gave her last. Amazing. Amazing. And they recognize her more than they recognize those that gave the abundance, out of their abundance, because it didn't hurt them. It didn't hurt them. You know, when you go to the church and you look in your purse, you say, look, I only got $30. But you hear the Lord pricking your heart and saying, daughter, son, I want you to give 25. If you're like me, I say, Lord, you know I only got $30. I'm telling the truth. I said, Lord, you know I only got $30. How are you going to tell me to get 25? I'm telling you. I was in a convocation and had a gold bracelet on the gospel. The Lord told me, said, give the pastor the bracelet. The prophet. It was a prophet from down south. And he was a preaching somebody. I said, Lord. He said, Lord, I mean, he was just up there shaking his head at me. I said, Lord, you know, this is the only bracelet I got. How you expect me to get his profit my bracelet? The Lord said, son, give it to him. Do you know that man went back to Alabama? They broke into his house after he was back there. And they took his TV, took his VCR. At that time, you know, he had them big old gator box and all that stuff. And they took all the stuff from his house. But guess what, Minister Andre? They couldn't take the bracelet. He came out to do another revival in Prince George's County, Myrna, because that's the church I was ordained as a pastor in that church. And he says, I want to tell that man of God give me a bracelet. And I told them to break into my house. And they took everything out of my house, and they couldn't take the bracelet. That man's an anointed man of God. Said they couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And God gave me a better bracelet, a much heavier bracelet than the one I gave to him. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Amen.
You can't be God. See, if you trust him enough, he will show himself mighty in your life. When you think you're giving him your life, God is not going to let you brag and say, well, look, I give God my last. He's not going to let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
God ain't going to let you do that. Brother Rose said, well, I give God my last, and I was my last. God said, no, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you beyond your comprehension. I'm going to bless you. That's what God does. You hear what I'm telling you? And that's what God did. I mean, he ain't stopped blessing me since then. He's been opening doors and he's been closing doors. He's been doing all kinds of stuff for me. But that's what he does. When you give him, and don't look at it, when you give out of a, because the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. So if you're going to give and then worry about it, don't give. If you're going to give and then think about how I'm going to pay the bills, don't give. I give. Me and my wife give and not boasting or bragging. We give, and when we give, I told her, I said, honey, watch and see what God does. And she, and God always, I'll tell you, Minister, on there, when God always comes to her so she can see the power. You hear what I'm telling? She always come true. Because she'd be like, I don't know, we can't do this because we can't afford this. I said, honey, just watch and see God. Watch and see what God does. And I get a job. Somebody called him and said, can you, I know this lady got a water heater, broken water heater. Can you install it today? I said, sure enough, I can. You know, in 45 minutes, I go make $270. In 45 minutes. That's how quick God is. When you sow seeds, you sow seeds. And I thank you for that message. Somebody near and far going to get that message, and they're going to catch the revelation of it, Minister, on there, and it's going to take them to another
Amen.
Dimension
thank
in God.
Amen.
The seed that the man, one man, Billa, has so much in the Bible. The Bible talks about him.
Yeah.
He has so much.
Mm-hmm.
He has so much seed. He stored all the stuff. He even tore down the old barn and built a new barn so he can store all his stuff. You know, but then when things get tough, all his stuff fall apart. That's right.
You know, God kept showing me Joseph in the Bible last night, and I just listened to that story. And you know, as much as the negativity that Joseph encountered, you know, he still put his trust in God. And at the end, look at the harvest that he reaped.
Oh my
Lord! The harvest of trusting in God. I was like, wow, God. I said, it was such a
that's
big
a story.
Scripture. I couldn't even bring it to write it in my thought process to deliver it. I said, God, it was so great. But when
that's
we
a
think
proper
of
story.
Joseph, when we think
yeah.
of Joseph, and look how much reaping because he chose not to sow negativity. He chose
that's
not
right.
to sow an eye for an eye. He chose not to sow back what was sown unto him. He trusted God and believed in God. That what God has allowed him to pass through was for a reaping to come.
That's
and
right.
He reaped. Everyone was blessed.
That's right.
Everyone.
He didn't give them back what they give to him. And they sure enough dealt him a bad hand. His brothers dealt him a very bad hand.
Yeah.
But Joseph didn't give them back what they give to him.
Yes.
And he even told him, he said, what you took for bad, God turned around for my good. You know, he told him, he said, what
amen.
You took for bad, God turned around for my good. And,
this,
and even when he went all the way down in the dungeon, they put him in the dungeon, in the prison,
in the
all
dungeon.
The way down in the dungeon, he went to the dungeon.
Yes.
And he wasn't complaining. He was in the dungeon. He wasn't complaining because right there in the dungeon, God was still reaching him in the dungeon. God gave him favor in the dungeon.
favor in the desert. 2 years.
In the desert, give us
so
favor.
So sometimes when we're
desert.
Waiting for our harvest, you know, Apostle, when we're waiting for our harvest, sometimes it takes years. But we don't give
That's
up,
right.
and we don't stop planning. He kept sowing. He kept working. He kept doing. And he
That's
kept
right.
He said the cupbearer, don't forget me. You know, when he said to the cupbearer, don't forget me, the Bible says the cupbearer forgot him. But years later, he was able to manifest that seed that Joseph sowed and says, this is what I'm doing for you, but don't forget me. God allowed it to now come to fulfillment. And he was
That's
redeemed
right.
to a better position than where he was in before. So as
Glory
you said it right,
God.
As we're giving, as we're helping others, don't look about what we're giving out. Don't look about what we're doing. Don't look about all these things. Just know, have that expectation to know that God, who is the sower of all things, who sees all things, will be the one that will reward us. It will come
That's
back.
That's right.
We don't know
Glory
how or
God.
When, but it will be returned to
it's
us.
It's going to come back.
And we give
That's
God
all
glory.
I know. It's going to come back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, could it also be possible, because it just hit me, that the Lord gave Joseph the dream to tell him the end from the beginning. And he got
yes.
so excited that he told his brothers, and it caused this hatred, like, who do you think you are? And that this word also is a lesson for us to remain faithful to God. And or to be faithful, because we don't always remain, but to be faithful to God, to give him our all, and he will help us. He will guide us. He, even though these things happen to us, he still sees everything, you know. And that's just coming to me now, because I'm just growing into this. I mean, at 64 years old, I can see how I've been unfaithful. God has been faithful, but I've also seen those who, the results of those who live a life for Christ, without a, you know, absolutely, and walk in obedience. And that's what he says to us, walk before me. He wants us to walk before mm-hmm. him, but the world system doesn't want to walk before him. I got a voices in my ear telling me that I don't, what I believe is false, but because of what I've gone through, and when I'm seeing that if nobody wasn't there, and I can tell you those were those moments, God was there, and how he moves through others, no, I don't believe your false report, you know, because you don't see. You can't see. You don't know him. But I have no excuse, and now we're moving in an age of accountability. When we know that we know and we walk away, it's dangerous. And, you know, what happened was we have prayer in the morning with Apostle LeGrant, and we didn't meet until late. So that's why I'm late, and I missed the word, but I'm hearing what you're saying. And God had a plan for Joseph. God knew his future, because he thought he knew where he was taking him to. But Joseph, when he was going through it, he didn't know. He even said to the baker, don't forget about me, and the baker forgot about him. But look
That's
at
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Still raised him up.
Still raised him up. Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's powerful that you mentioned that part of it, you know, where God gave him the dream and he went. You know, he's speaking, you know, that's the reason why sometimes in certain things that God is doing in our life, we have to really go to him and ask him how, you know, how he wants us to move, what he wants us to do, because sometimes we have to move in silence to see things manifest because of the envy and the jealousy of his brothers, because they didn't know what he was saying. They ridiculed him. Well, it's not that they didn't know. They believed. This is why they sold him. This is why they wanted to kill him, because they were like, no, we're not going to let this young buck, this child that is younger than us, raise up. But look even that what God did. Look at David. Out of all of his brothers, God chose him, because it's the seed that God had in him that needed to manifest, that needed to grow. But even with what the brothers did to him and tried, it was all a part of God's plan. Joseph was humble. He remained humble. He remained trusting in God.
He didn't look for vengeance to come back and kill his brothers. He moved with God. He allowed everything that happened in his life to go forth because he knew and he trusted in what God showed him. And that's what we have to understand. And you're saying you're 64 and you're just going, everybody's walk is different. Everybody's understanding of what God is doing will come to understanding, will come to fulfillment in the time that God needs it to come. So we can't judge and say, I'm just getting there. No, we're there, but God knows where we all are. Like you said it, he sees us all. He knows where we are in our steps, in our walk with him. And we just thank God that he keeps opening our eyes and keeps showing us more. So thank you, Evangelist, for sharing. Amen. And thank God for you. Apostle?
I'm here. I thought I heard Deacon before.
Oh, okay. Deacon Frazier?
I heard him before. Yeah. Was he going back out again? You can come on in, Brother Deacon, and say something, pray for everybody, and whatever you want to do, what the Lord says. And I'm going back on mute because I'm working.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, woman of God. Praise the Lord. Be one of you. Praise the Lord, you are apostle.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Frazier.
We do want to pray the Lord, everyone is going to call. We thank the Lord for a beautiful day. We thank God for what has been said today. And I truly thank God that the words that have been spoken today of the word of God. And I thank God for you, what he stored in your life, how God really doing things in your life. He's doing wonderful things. And you as his servant, we thank God for what has been said. And I thank God that what I heard on today, it really, truly glad I was sitting here and able to say something to encourage the woman of God. Sometimes I don't say anything, not too much, but I thank God I'm able today to say something when I can get a chance. And I thank God for this church line. Thank God for what he's doing, because he's taking the tour right, because God is doing wonderful things, because he is control of this church line. Can't nobody else do it. If he won't do it, if no one can else do it, God said, the one way God, won't God do it, won't he do it? Because God is the one. God, Jesus is the one that will do it. God
Amen.
Is the one. He is the one that he's doing it. He is the one. And I truly thank God what he really doing. You know, everyone's life, and as I was sitting there just listening, I was sitting here listening to what you were saying, a lot of things that come in that's caught in mind. You were saying that you talk about the church hurt. You know that sometimes you got some that does hurt one another. And we feel like if we know a lot of things is going on in these churches right now today. But sometimes we got to be careful how we mistreat one another. We got, and you know what? That's the truth. We have to be real careful how we mistreat one another, how we talk that woman or man of God. We got to be careful how we mistreat one another. We got to be real careful how we mistreat that person.
Okay.
Because we don't never know who we might meet. We don't never know. How you come down on the person, because you don't never know, because we got to be careful how we treat that person. And a lot of things have been said about building. You know, the book of Luke tells me, in St. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, given shall be given. And we know we have to, you know, a lot of us feel like, we got so much love to complain. They can't give, you know. But the Bible said we have to give. We have to be given. Shall be given. You know, as I was sitting there just listening, there were a lot of things on what I was catching on today. And I really kind of caught on about saying about the church hurt. You know, I've been that way myself. I've been that way how sometimes a business church, I feel like someone that laughing right behind my back, That's what I feel like. And I feel like when you do that to a person, and, you know, I've learned a lot of things will come back on the person. So we never supposed to hurt a person. We never supposed to laugh at a person what they are. We never supposed to laugh at them. We never supposed to do that. Cause I don't care what they are, because we all are in Christ. We should love them no matter what they are. We all not try to laugh at a person, because that's the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to make fun of a person. I never made fun of a person. Even in my own church, I won't pose a laugh at a person, because that's gonna affect well on me. Because that's gonna get on me. If you put your mouth on a person, say something about a person, well, guess what? It's the same thing gonna be said. Same thing gonna be said about you if you point your finger at a person. Well, guess what? I got 5 fingers pointed at me. You got 5 pointed at you. And you know what? That's the truth. If you point 4 fingers at a person, well, 4 fingers pointed, 5 will point at me. It's point right back at me. But you know, we're not supposed to look down on a person. And that's something that I won't do. Even when I come on this church line, I don't come and try to look down on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't supposed to look down on you who you are. Cause we all somebody in Christ. Everybody is somebody in Christ. We all somebody in Christ. That's who we are. We all somebody in Christ.
Amen.
But I just truly say I just thank God for. I really and truly enjoyed what I heard on today, and that God continue to use you, and because you are His servant. And you do. We do wonderful things in the life of God. God continues to do wonderful work in your life, regardless who don't want to hear the truth. You just go and preach the word of God. He's doing outstanding, great work in your life. He's doing greater things. He's doing wonderful, good things in your life. He continues to do things that you will never imagine what He is willing to do in your life. He gonna continue to do things that you've never seen before, because he's doing it right now, and let God continue to use you, and let God continue to speak through you, cover you, because you are a Proverbs chapter 31 woman, and we just thank God that He's doing greater work in your life, in your family, and He's doing life in your marriage, in your husband. He's doing one thing in your life. He's doing greater things. He's gonna continue to keep doing greater things, because He's doing greater things in everyone's life as well. You know, every time I always come to the church land, I never get to see anything when I hear your voice. But I'm always glad and thankful when I come and hear your voice. Hear you come, let God continue to use you and speak through you and cover you. You know, even though if I couldn't regulate on the message, you know, even though I could hear what the word had been said, but I just truly thank God for what he's doing in your life, because he's doing better work in your life. So may God continue to bless on the word what has been said today. Truly thank God for what I heard, because I really enjoyed it, what has been said, and it really was an awesome word of God. May God continue to use you. May God continue to speak to you and cover you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.
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 Thank you, Deacon Frazier. We give God the glory for you, and we thank God for adding, and you are so right. We have to be careful, you know, what we say unto others and not to create that type of hurt, you know, church hurt. Because, you know, when we do that, it takes, you know, believers and it takes unbelievers out of the grace of God, because they now don't trust, you know, the word of God and feel like we're all hypocrites. So we, as children of God, you know, we have to do better in our stands and, you know, just be careful that when we are going through our own emotional stress, that we still remain in God, in that peace mind and that trust in God, so that when we speak to others, we don't hurt, issue, or sow seeds of hurt. So we thank God and we give God the glory for you and your family. Amen. I love you. Amen. I don't know if there's anyone else on the line. Apostle had said that there was no one, and I prayed out. But if there's anyone on the line that would like to add or say something, please do so at this time. Amen.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. Praise God. How are you?
I'm good also. Praise God.
How was the weather?
We need rain. We're in a drought, but we've been in the 70s. It's been cool sometime, but we do need more rain.
Oh yeah. I hope it's not like gonna create like a fire or anything of that sort. You know.
Well, that's the issue.
If I know the last time, yeah.
We need our rivers, our hills should be green. Our lakes are low with water. But we walked through that scripture that I never saw. I've read it many times but didn't see all the things that I saw, that when we disobey God, these are the things that happen. So we're interceding for our state and for our nation.
Amen. You made me just look at my calendar to see the temperature where I'm at, because I've been inside and it says today's going to be 72, which is good, you know, in New England, in Boston. Wow.
Wait a minute, say that again.
I saw you, when you said your temperature, you made me go and look at the calendar to see what the temperature is here in Boston, well, in Mansfield, and it said that it's going to be 72. So I'm like, ooh, I was like, all right,
man.
I need to get out with my daughter and go enjoy this niceness, because you know, right now we don't get this type of temperature. Mm-mm. So, Amy, thank you, Evangelist Sheila, for adding to the word. We all need the word, and we all need everyone's insight is important, because, like I said, we're all unique, and what God has in you is needed to help advance each and every one of us. And what God has in me, what God has in Deacon Frazier, Apostle, and everyone else that share, even when you meet someone out there on the street, you know, sometimes you listen to these people, you know, these young, especially young kids, and, you know, they're very insightful. And I'm like, God, they have so much inside of them. And this is where we have to make sure we sow good seeds and speak great examples in the kingdom of God and for others who are trying to get to know God. Because once you create that hurt, you know, once you sow something negative into them, it sometimes can deteriorate and rip them away from God. And, you know, we just have to be better at what we're doing as children of God and Christ followers. Amen.
Some I'm not led to speak. If I'm not led, I don't speak. I'm to that place. I'm fine with it. Sometimes I'm just not led to talk. That's all.
And you know what? That's exactly how I am. I truly and honestly do not speak or go anywhere or do anything if God don't really lead me to. And I would sit there quiet and I'd be like, mm-mm. If people listen to me, like those around me, they're like, who are you talking to? Because I'm like, mm-mm. And it's because myself wants to say something, but the spirit within me is saying no. So I'm saying, so I know, don't say anything. I always ask God to show me, let me speak if you want me to speak. And if I'm not supposed to, please hold my tongue. Hold my tongue so I don't create hurt. And, you know, he helps. It helps, definitely. Thank you. Amen. Apostle?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I will talk to you later. God bless you. And thank you so much, Yvonne, for coming on, Deacon for sharing, Minister on there for preaching. We'll talk later.
Amen.
I'm going to try to get this thing here in. All right. God bless.
All right. God bless you all. Love you guys. Enjoy the weather.
Love you more. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful day. Amen.
You too.